Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and it's our regular crew back once again. It's Kyle and Brett. Welcome back, guys.
What's up, Damon?
What's up?
All right, so Brett actually gave the message this past Sunday, which we alluded to last week on the podcast, and it was like a really good message, so we wanted to bring Brett back on and share a little bit more of the details behind the scenes, because it was a pretty like significant message for him, so wanted to bring him back. So
yeah, thanks for making time. Thanks for making time in your schedule, Brett, for us. I appreciate it. I feel appreciated.
Yeah. I felt like, well, one, since I was on last time, and if I was going to speak, like, okay, it'd be good to go back on again. So yeah, if it will, and thank you guys for being flexible, because we're recording on a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go Dodgers.
Oh, that's right.
Well, hopefully you'll be listening to this after the Dodgers win.
Yeah, after some wins. But yeah, so for my speaking, I had alluded to it, I think, last week, just beyond even the subject matter and what I was speaking on, just kind of where I'm at personally and some of the things surrounding me speaking. And yeah, and so a big step in my journey with my mental health and just, you know, even playing into faith, I didn't take the extra anxiety medications that I normally would, and I haven't been taking them. And so public speaking is normally a forum which I would take it. I didn't take one this past Sunday. I was nervous beforehand. The best way I could describe it, because Brittany actually asked me, I said I was really nervous beforehand, and it was more like, it wasn't so much like, oh, I think I'm going to do bad, or like I'm too nervous, like I don't think I'll be able to speak. My mindset was more like, why does it have to be so difficult to like work through this, like right before? Like it not takes so much life out of me, but like it's just like a obstacle, barrier, distract, just like, it takes a mental, emotional, spiritual toll. Like, just kind of more like, why does this have to be so like annoying or hard or just like linger? It was like mixed with frustration and that kind of thing. And then the best way I could describe it though is, because Brittany was like, oh, he's going to be like nervous in the beginning. Like, it seemed hard for him. And then she was like, and then you got up there. And then I was like, he's not even nervous. Yeah, like, when he started talking, she's like, I could tell it's like not even bothering him. And the best way I could describe it is like, once I walked up onto stage, it was almost like the anxiety or those feelings that I had like were like left behind. Like once I started walking up onto the stage, like they stopped at the edge of the stage, and then when I walked up, they weren't there anymore, or like they just like washed off of me as I walked up. Because when I got up there, normally in the past, it takes me couple sentences, or maybe sometimes at its longest a couple minutes, to like kind of settle in, allow myself to feel like I can swallow and I don't have like dry mouth, or I'm like fumbling my words right away, or I'm in my head thinking like, what are you gonna say, or what happens? Like, none of that was taking place. I felt more free to just like go. And so that was different. And so that was a huge difference. But I think there were also a lot of other external circumstances that were trying to knock me off of my mental game or just my perspective. Because even before getting to church...
Hold on. Before we get to that, I think I know what it was that did it.
What?
It was your walk-up song.
Okay, yeah, you two were up to it. You two were up to it. Because I did go up to Damon and say, oh, shoot, I forgot to put a slide that had the questions application. And then he was looking up something. I was like, what are you looking up? He's like, your entrance music. And I was like, what?
It popped in my head that morning. I'm like, oh, that might just make it fun and relax. And then, I just said it to Damon. I'm like, well, you figure it out. And then after I started playing, I'm like, oh crap, I hope this doesn't make him nervous. And I'm like, oh shoot, did I make it worse? But apparently it made it better.
Do you know what song that was?
I know it was a WWE like entrance song. It wasn't The Rock, because I know The Rock starts with his signature line. Was it Stone Cold? Or
it was Stone Cold.
It
was Stone Cold.
It was either Stone Cold or somebody else I was going to say, but yeah.
Sorry, anyways, I'm sure that's what it was. That was totally...
That probably played into it. It snapped me out of it. It's like, all right, you need to be focusing on other stuff besides yourself.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. So going back to that morning, there were some other extracurricular things happening.
Yeah. So Brittany had left early because she was on worship. And so they're mm-hmm. doing sound check. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I was taking care of the dog and just prepping last mm-hmm. minute things, making sure I had my papers and whatnot. And everything was all, I was feeling pretty good. I could tell I was a little bit anxious, excited, just some of those mixed emotions, yeah. but nothing over the top, you know, praying. And then I getting ready to go because I want to get there early, and my car won't start.
Good thing for that. Good thing you weren't like pushing time on that.
No, I was planning to get there at like 9, the latest 9:15, because mm-hmm. I know they want to like give me the mic, and then I was going to ask Damon to make the slide and just talk to whoever's there, and my car wouldn't start, and I'm just like, huh. So then I just stopped, and I even was like, not chuckling, but just like, of course it's not going to start on the morning that I'm going to speak. So then I just prayed and was like, okay. And I was hoping that my prayer would just magically, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then it wouldn't start. And now it's like, you know, past the time that I was going to get there. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, I'll try calling Brittany, but I'm pretty sure she's mm-hmm. practicing. So I call her. Of course, she doesn't answer. So now I'm like, okay. I know they want to pray before service too, or ask what's going on. I was like, I need to kind of get there soon. So I was like, mm-hmm. who can I ask? And I was like, okay, I asked my brother to share, but it's kind of not on the way for him to come pick me up and then go. I don't want to make him late or make him freak out or something. I was like, who else is going to go early that would be ready to go? Because if someone says like, oh, I could pick you up, but like, I'm not going to get there till like 10 or after. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. That's probably not good.
Yeah.
So I was like, who are the people that aren't necessarily setting stuff up or whatever? So then I was like, I'll just call Garrett because mm-hmm. Garrett's normally there. Call them. Like, are you at church? And I could hear them practicing worship in the background. He's like, yeah. I was like, is everything all set up? Like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, why? I was like, do you think you could come pick me up? My car won't start. And I know Brittany's practicing. And he's like, oh, yeah, for sure. I'll be over there. So Garrett just picked me up. And it didn't make me frazzled, but I was just kind of like, could feel like, okay, there's a thing that's.
It could have, though.
I mean, yeah. Well, I was like, if I'm late, it's not because I don't want to be there. It's like I literally can't. But yeah, Garrett picked me up. Everything was fine. Jumped right in, got the mic. And then, you know, I was really grateful for the worship team and the intercessors. They prayed over me. And it wasn't even so much the content. It was just like getting to hear from me, kind of what I'm sharing on the podcast of just stepping into this mm-hmm. faith of God's healing mm-hmm. and walking that out. And so they were just very honoring to that. And so I was very grateful for their prayers and their words and mm-hmm. encouragement. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think for myself, that was not that, okay, not to put myself above the church or anything, but that was a bigger ordeal or something that was like, I want to see what God does, how it plays out rather than like what I'm saying. Mm. Like, I'm already surrendering that. Mm-hmm. And so what is it like? Am I going to be able to communicate those things? Am I going to be able to step into that tension area mm-hmm. with this specifically? And so, yeah, it played out how it played out. And yeah, the rest was history after that point.
It was good. Like when, because that was part of the prayer time before. And yeah, I could really sense the Spirit on you. So I think it was, God was honoring your heart and what the journey that you were kind of putting yourself on, or that path that you put yourself on. And so I felt really strongly that the Spirit was really on you. And so even you describing that, just going up on stage and everything just kind of dissipated, it's not surprising.
Mm.
I could feel that. And I think that's how the whole service played out.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's really encouraging just to hear. Especially because right, there was every reason to have anxiety or mm-hmm. like extra, mm-hmm. right? Like you weren't taking your meds, you had the car issues,
mm-hmm.
speaking, And yet this experience was so different. So I think it's really cool to see how like the Lord has walked you through this healing journey and how you're taking these steps of faith and just how it's playing out. It's really encouraging, I think.
I recognize afterwards, because Brittany and I kind of debriefed where she just like, how was it? It was different. Like she shared her personal side of things. I said, I think I was almost more worried like if God, or if the healing didn't happen, or if like my surrender and my reliance on the Lord like didn't come through in how I hoped or wished, like how would I feel or what my response would be? Because dealing with anxiety to me is not that I'm comfortable in it, because it's never comfortable, but like I'm kind of used to that,
having to manage it. Yeah.
And so then to take a step and then in hopes that it doesn't play out that way, I guess it's more like the letdown or frustration, disappointment, and then like how do I respond to God after that was the thing that I was more concerned about. And so there's still aspects of it that I'm processing, but at least I don't have to go to that place this time. So when I'm looking back, I was like, it wasn't even so much like the anxiety portion. It was more like what I had experienced and what took place. Like, what if it doesn't match this now experience? How do I reconcile that with the Lord or walk in that tension in that relationship that I have with God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's a real journey for a lot of people when they have prayer, especially intimate encounters and healings, that the healing could be genuine and have happened, but the walking it out can be a process. Like sometimes you can be receiving the full healing right at the same time, but there's times where it's the growing and it's partly phase, but it's partly, I think sometimes like in your situation especially, I think it's the rewiring of your mind, because I think the part that was causing the anxiety has been healed, but your body and your mind specifically is conditioned to need it, to having those techniques and having, which are all great, but it's been relying on that. And so now it's that fight of like, but what if I don't use those, or what if I don't do that? Then what is that really what happened? And I totally get it. It's when you play it out, it does lead to the, oh shoot, but if such and such happens, then how would I view God, or how would I view what I felt happen? So yeah, tough spot.
Yeah, we're telling everybody, like, you know, Brittany will be like, Brett's healed. Pretty much Brett's healed from his anxiety. I'm like, I admire that boldness and that faith, but like if something happens, like, not that I'm worried what everybody else will think, but then it's like you're testifying about what God has done. And then if I don't know, there's just like this weird dynamic where if it doesn't look like what you're testifying has been done, then not that I want to be a false witness, but there's just like, I don't know, there's just all these different dynamics that I didn't realize I would consider or think about.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? And so even in that, with our healing, sometimes it's like the enemy's going to try to take that away, whether it's shifting our mindset to say like, oh, I don't know if that really happened, or, you know, putting things in front of us like your car, right? Like there's different ways that the enemy, so it's cool to see how you are stepping out in faith to say like, okay, I'm going to continue on this path that the Lord has me on. And we'll just see what that looks like. So I think that's really, like I said earlier, an encouragement. Brandon might get me on encouragement this this episode.
But I think too, it's, you know, you're in the process of walking it out, and I don't have a diagnosis of an anxiety disorder. But I deal with anxiety sometimes. Like certain situations, they cause it to rise, and sometimes it goes more severe than others. So even if you had that, it doesn't mean that you've reverted back, right? That's kind of like, in a sense, that's just there's normal. There's a normal type of anxiety in that people have it. So you kind of still have to give yourself grace. Like, it doesn't mean that I will never experience anxious thoughts or anxiety. And even if they rise to like a somewhat high level, it's like, partly it's how do you recognize it and how do you respond from there? Because I think that's the part that's going to be different than in the past. So I just say that just so that you don't put too much pressure on yourself that, oh, I can't let that stuff come, because that's kind of just part of life.
Yeah, especially in the situation that you are in where you're public speaking, like it's paralyzing to most of the public or most of the population.
I'm still working through that. I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm learning how to manage it and do better with it, but it is like rewiring my thought pattern and even my expectations. Like, oh, I'm going to be short of breath the first little bit. Like you were talking about the first couple sentences or minutes. I used to have that all the time, and I would feel like I was like trying to catch my breath, and then I'm like, I know people can, and then I'd say that, and people were like, I didn't hear any difference, but I had this, and then I would hit a spot, and I'd be like, okay, now I'm more calm. And I've gotten past that somewhat, but I still fight it in other ways too. So it's part of it's just the learned behavior aspect that we have to do. Mm. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to talk to your mom or dad, or did they get to, because they weren't in service, right?
No, they're in Seattle.
Yeah. Did they get to watch it and then?
They did. They watched it later that day.
I was eating lunch and I get a, hey, when are you going to put it on? Because, and I was like, it's already on. It's like, they want to know exactly right when it's on. I'm like, okay, I'll text them right now. It's already on. And
No, it's fast up there, because I was like, somebody asked me like, oh, I want to send it to da 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 da. And I was like, oh, I don't know if it's up yet. And I checked. I was like, oh shoot, it's already up. So
Damon's on it.
Yeah. They listened to it. And I think they watched in the afternoon, and they were very just complimentary of both me and Dylan, and they're just proud. And I think a big expression from their hearts as parents is they felt thankful that to see and hear like where Dylan and I are, even if we're wrestling with things, like that we're walking with the Lord in that. And so I think that was the biggest thing that they were like proud of and thankful for. And so, yeah, they just sent a text. They were busy with stuff, but they took the time to listen and watch it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sure they saw a different demeanor or different. And I guess it's a little harder to do it on video to see it. I think it probably comes across even better in person.
Well, my mom did mention, she's like, when you first got up there, she said, when I saw you and you were like, in the beginning when you were talking and the way you were breathing and swallowing, she's like, I got a little nervous, but then I was like, oh, I think he's fine. So she was like trying to key in on things that she probably has witnessed
in the past,
for I don't know how many years of like can tell when I'm having a hard time or when I'm nervous. So I guess it came through on video too.
Well, I was also going to just ask, I want to give a shout out to your brother. Like you did a really good job up there. But for you, even knowing you were going to invite him to speak and have him speak, like how was it for you hearing him up there, what he shared? Just kind of as a big brother, but then also just how it fit in your message. Like what was it like for you that day?
I knew I wanted a testimony, and I didn't want it to come just from me. Because I knew I was already going to share some stuff and, you know, joke about myself and different things. But I wanted something, because I think also seeing the ways that people really responded and heard from like Cameron and Olivia. And not that it had to be to that level, but just like another voice that are of them in it or experiencing it. I was like, oh, that would be really good in this series especially. And so I was trying to think of somebody. I was like, should I talk to Mimo, because she did that class? I was trying to sit with the Lord. I was like, I asked Brittany, would she be willing to share? I was going to ask my in-laws if I could share a story about them. And I was like, no, none of that kind of feels like what I'm supposed to do. And then I was like, but I've been gone too, out of the country for a little bit. So I was like, I don't really know what's going on recently. So I don't know who else to ask. And then I feel like God highlighted Dylan and was just like, you've seen him grow and have had to walk with him in some of this. See if he's willing to share about it. I didn't know to which depths he's shared it in the class. I know he shared some things and with some people, but I was like, oh, that might be a good person because I have seen a difference in him. But then I was like, oh shoot, I think this is the week that he teaches. So I was like, I don't want to pull him. I started kind of coming up with all these excuses. So then I was like, you know what? Just ask him. So then, funny enough, we had small group, and then I heard him over talking to Cameron, and then they were talking about whose turn it was to teach, and it didn't sound like it was his turn. So I was like, hey, do you want to speak? And he was like, about what? And he's like, any way I could help, I'm down. But like, what are you talking about? And so I was able to share with him a little bit. I told him, think about it. And I said, this is kind of what I'm envisioning, but yeah. And so he was like, okay, I'll show you what I wrote down and like what I'm thinking about. And I was like, no, you don't need to do that. I trust like what you've experienced and having talked with you, what you've been going through. I was like, I think if you just share, because I told him what verse I feel like was highlighted and I thought of him. I said, if you just share in certain ways that this, you've lived this out and you're even in the process of it, I said, anything that you say, I believe like it'll be good. And so he asked me how much time, and I told him, and I didn't know exactly what he was going to share. But then to hear him share, I feel like he did a really good job, especially with the content that he was sharing. I think it was I told my parents that I feel like his sharing really stamped the message. Like it really brought the not punch, but like it really brought to life the example of God's word and kind of the heart behind what I wanted to bring out in God's word in this passage. And so I think he really illuminated, even though it was heavy, he illuminated like the tension aspect and having to walk through life in that way. And so I was very appreciative that he went there and he was willing to be vulnerable. And just really proud of him, because I think even in that scenario, like starting to hear what he was sharing, I was like, oh, it could be easy to fumble through it or not be organized or get to a place where it's hard to understand. But I felt like he did a really good job of just keeping it simple, but also very layered with all the things that he mentioned.
It seemed like it hit home too when you got back up. Like,
yeah,
you could hear the emotion and see it in you. Like, I'm sure it was just knowing the journey he's been on and just being able to give him that platform and see him step into that. I thought that was really touching too.
Yeah, there was a mix of being really proud of him, but also like being a firsthand witness to a lot of it. Like you see the behind the scenes. Mm. And so I've told him on multiple occasions, even just as an encouragement, like, dude, you've taken so many steps of growth. You may not feel like it because you still feel like you're in the brokenness, but just the way that I could see him process things, ask for help, seek out things, initiate, be responsible for stuff. I was like, that's like, not that he didn't do it at all before, but it was just a maturity that I saw take place. And so I think seeing the behind the scenes and then giving him that platform to be able to share that with others, and then knowing that he's still working through it, and some of the things are things that I've had to walk through as well. I think there was an aspect of me also knowing, as his older brother, in a lot of those situations, and I mentioned it while I spoke, like there wasn't much that I could do about it. And so there was a little bit of like a helplessness from my end that I don't like. And so then to see that is like, yeah, just a testament to his relationship with God.
Yeah, I think it's good to be able to hear testimonies of people as they're going through stuff, not just afterwards, right? So
yeah,
like for you with your, how you've been walking through the healing, it's cool to see like each part of the journey and not just, oh, it's all done, it's over, right? But it's like, as you're going through it, you're sharing, we're hearing from you, similar with Dylan. It's like, he's still in the middle of it, but he's able to share and we're able to kind of walk with him a little bit more. One of the things that you had mentioned, it was kind of, it's brought something to mind, is that this month's schedule for the Pride has been kind of crazy. Because normally, I think Cameron is the first Sunday.
Second
Sunday. Yeah. First Sunday is multi-gen. Yeah. Second Sunday, then it's me, then it's Dylan. So then, this month got all turned around. So the week that Cameron was supposed to speak, normally he teaches that week. Pastor Bray asked him to share a testimony too. Yeah. Right? So normally he's supposed to be in the pride that day teaching. But we don't even know why. Like, Steph sent out the schedule and was like, oh, wait, actually, I'm teaching that day. Mm. And so it all worked out. And so kind of in a similar way with Dylan, too, it's like you thought he was supposed to teach that day and actually he was available. So, yeah, this month has just been kind of interesting how different of the Pride teachers have been available on the day that they're supposed to give a testimony.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm glad that Steph and God had it all organized that way. But something to say about the testifying or sharing testimony when you're in the process of it. I told Dylan, because he was like, I want to make sure that what I'm sharing like speaks to the passage. And I said, like, I appreciate that, but I think even if you share that you're still going through it, I said there's power in that, that you don't have to feel like you have the answer to what the text is talking about, like in your testimony. And so I'm glad that he was able to just let it be what it is. And so, yeah, I'm just very thankful that he shared the way that he did. And I know that people were touched by it. So I'm glad that God was able to use that, mm-hmm. that testimony to reach them.
All right. So one of the things that we normally do when someone comes on after they speak is we ask, is there anything that you didn't have time to say that you wanted to say? So here's your chance.
Well, I took too much time to say, so I think I got it all out there, the majority of it, or mostly all of it. I think one thing that it's funny, the one thing that maybe I didn't talk too much on was actually the Cain and Abel story, because I didn't want to take too much away from 1 John. But just looking at that dynamic and diving more into that story and the interactions, really focusing on the relationships, for me, that was very just eye-opening in even like some of the little things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it made me think about relationships a lot in terms of the way we characterize relationships and people, and how the way God's word and how they characterize people, like he hasn't called like them evil, but based off of their actions and then characterizing sin as wanting to control you, it's like the blame is on the sin, not like the person. And I think through that lens, not that that's a perfect lens or we always look at everything in that scenario, but it does help you like love your enemy, or it does help you walk in the tension with somebody, because if you feel like it's that person and they're like the embodiment of whatever it is to you, the hurt, the sin essentially, I could see why it's so difficult to want to deal with that, because you're like, sin, get away from me. Mm-hmm. But if you recognize like how the enemy is trying to work, or like you said earlier, Dame, like kill, steal, and destroy, like even in relationships, using any kind of thing to give you doubt, envy, anger, whatever it is, like how that can disrupt a relationship so much and keep us from wanting to walk in the tension with that person. It's so easy to stay away from that and say, no, like I'm done with that. And then now it's probably, in some cases it's healthy, and in other cases, that's probably what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to be like, yeah, walk away. Like, I don't want a healthy relationship. I'd rather kill it, destroy it, steal it. Now I don't have to worry about like what God can do in that. And so, yeah, there's just a deeper layer at play when it even comes to our relationships with others.
Me and Damon are having a stare off to see who's going to... I just blinked first. I'm talking. I actually had used that passage in a message a while back too, and that where he tells Cain that like Satan is crouching like a tiger, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when I researched that too, it's like that it's the tiger crouches when it's ready to pounce, right? Mm-hmm. When it's ready to attack. And so like, God was giving him that foresight and that hey, better check yourself, because he's coming after you, or he wants to come after you. And so then he had a choice to operate out of his flesh and let Satan kind of take over, or he could have like changed his demeanor, apologized, all of that kind of stuff, and then kept the relationship, obviously with his brother, but then like with God as well.
Preach.
The other thing I did touch on is I liked the nature in which I felt like John's, the words came across. I had talked to you, Kyle, a little bit about it when we were talking about, when you talked about your message, and I was talking about mine, and how we're talking about how it's based, or they're talking about love, but it's not like the maybe normal assumed warm feeling of love that you get. Like you said, it's there because it is love, but there's also this other nature that's like, you know, the maybe not harsh, but the hard truth of certain things. And so I think there's a part of me that's wired that way, that wants to push people, that wants, hopefully, or I'd like to think it's what God wants for them too. But that truth of love, there, that I liked in this passage, that some of the examples that John used kind of brings that out, because it calls out things that I think people would normally like question, or like, what is this guy talking about type of thing. And so just that, the character, I feel like that came out of the message, is something that really resonated with me and that I liked.
I liked how you highlighted too the way he repeated certain phrases and certain, like he's trying to get a point across and he's using certain language to kind of get it to sink in, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of, hey, I'm saying it this way. I'm saying this again, like pay attention. So yeah, the way he writes it's easy to look past it when you're just reading through it. Not, I would say quickly, but just like more quickly. But it's like when you're taking it and digesting it in smaller chunks, and then you see some of these patterns and these words, like, hey, why is he repeating? Like, what's he? And you start picking up on, oh, he's really trying to emphasize certain points. Mm-hmm. And some of those, I think when I've read it more on the quicker side in the past, it's not that I've looked past it, but it's because some of those points are a little bit on the harsher, more direct side. So it's like, oh yeah, I get it, but it's not like I'm dwelling on it because it doesn't like necessarily feel good. Mm-hmm. But I can see how in the past I haven't really taken this book specifically the way I am now. I'm like, oh yeah, he's going at his audience pretty direct.
I think that's one thing I like about this series, is it's pointing us to a more robust, like a bigger picture of what love actually is. Because the way that the world sees love, it's very, right, like the, like we talked about, the lovey-dovey, the feelings, the, you know, the attraction, but there's a lot more to love than just that. And I think that going through this series has helped to illuminate just how big love is. And sometimes it comes with truth, and it could feel harsh, but that's actually the most loving thing that could be done. And sometimes it is the feeling. So it's not one or the other, but it's like this crazy amalgamation of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that genuine love has a lot of tension tied with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's like, yeah, you could see one side of it and be like, oh yeah, I get it, I'm good with that. Whether it's a more of a harsh side or a really soft side, and it's fine. You can be really comfortable with it. But really, it's like there's I don't even think it's just two facets. It's like there's multiple like facets that are like tugging on each other. So there's always tension. And in some ways, I'm like, I don't know if I like that. I just want to stay with what's at least just one way. Like it feels more comfortable, but it really shortchanges what love is in view of who God is.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it also speaks to like God's love for us. Mm. Like, you know, you even think of like discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, why is it necessary? Because I do think people see a practical side of being disciplined, but like in love, like what, like why does God want discipline for us? Like why is that a part of love? And I think some of these areas that do cause tension, it's good to wrestle with it, because like for myself in prepping for the message, it gives me a bigger perspective of God's love for me in like, you know, in the preparation of the message, in the stepping out in faith, there's aspects of God's love that he has for me that I'm experiencing that's not an easy, warm, okay, I just want this feeling all the time, but it's there's a greater trust, there's a greater faith, there's a greater amount of dependence on the Lord, there's a greater amount of connection. And so it doesn't always feel good, or it's not the most convenient or seem the most easy, but it's greater than those things. And yeah, it's hard to describe because it is such a mix of things.
Yeah, I think as Kyle was talking about, there's a tension in love. I think one of the things that we need to think about when we think about tension is when there's tension, it's something pulling on you, right? Mm. So with love, it's like pulling you towards someone else or something else, right? So if that tension's not there, you're not being drawn to that, right? Mm. So that's part of why there is a tension in love, because that's what love is doing. It's drawing you closer to the Lord or drawing you closer to someone else. And so that tension is there, but then there's also things pulling on us in other directions too. And so it's to not let us be pulled towards those things, but that's why there needs to be guardrails too.
So is that, if you're not feeling tension, it's because you've drifted too far. I mean, not even too far, but you aren't looking at the opposite side, or like, what do you think on that? Because it seems like you could just then operate on one side and not feel tension because that's all that you really care about. But really, we need to operate in that fullness. So, or do you think that we're good at suppressing the tension and just kind of ignoring it?
I kind of think it's kind of like a rubber band, right? Like when you stretch out the rubber band too much, you don't feel the tension anymore, right? So,
gotcha.
So when we get too far past the guardrails, then that rubber band is stretched out too far, and then we kind of need a new rubber band, right?
So our guardrails now then become further out.
Yeah. So to be in that tension is actually to be closer, right? Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, sorry. It was a very abstract question.
That's a good question. Yeah. I think one thing that was highlighted to me as well as in the way that John is talking, I feel like especially talking about relationships, it's so applicable for our church. I think, you know, relationships and being relational is a strength of our church. But I think there's also a dynamic that God probably wants to take us to a deeper and greater place when it even comes to relationships, in learning how to walk with each other, learning how to do it more similar to the way that God has designed for us. If he wants us to be city on a hill, if he wants us to step into these things, it's going to require a greater level of everything. And in relationships, it's one thing that stood out to me is highlighted how important it is, like in God's word, even just relationships in general, like whether it's your enemy, whether it's your brother and sister, whether it's your parents, whether it's your spouse, and definitely with the Lord, like relationships is so important in God's word, even in the Bible, of how much they talk about it and the dynamics that I think it's one fitting for our church. I'm glad that our church is very relational, but I think with that comes even like a greater responsibility to do them well, so that, you know, our church body and the people that we come in contact with, like, get a healthy view of God in the ways that we have relationship. And so, yeah, I had a strong sense that I felt like our church as a whole needs to take another step forward in how we do relationship with one another.
Do we want to go there?
Sure.
Well, okay. So, I mean, I think what Brett is talking about is something that we are trying to walk in at the leadership level. And what does it look like to walk in some of those, like, kind of leveling up in our relationships? So in some of that, it is walking in tension, right? Because we do feel like, you know, sometimes as a relational church, it could be very easy to just be grace, 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 grace. But sometimes there is a tension in when you do one thing that affects other people. And when someone does something, it affects other people, right? So, recently we've been trying to, I'm maybe not trying to, but as a part of this series, we've been kind of taking the lead in terms of what does it look like to walk the tension of light and love. And we recognized this past Sunday, there was a little bit of a tension that we were walking with the length of the service, right? And so if you weren't there, the service ended at around noon, which is a little bit late for us. Generally, we try to go between 11:30 and 11:45. And yeah, it went till noon. And we recognize that that affects the children's ministry and the people that are in the back that are working with the kids. And sometimes it affects the kids too, because mm-hmm. they're back there for an extended amount of time that they're not used to. But so that's one side. But then the other side is, you know, when there's a really good worship experience, do we just want to cut that short, right? And so there is a tension that we have to walk through. And so it is something that, you know, at the leadership level, we've been trying, or not been. As a result of that, we have to walk this through. And mm-hmm. so we are trying to walk it out and talk it through and share. And I think we've had some really good discussions on it too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's being open and sharing your concerns. But I think it was good because everybody that was sharing recognized the tension, that there's two good things. We're trying to be aware and take care of the kids, the family ministry, the children's ministry side, and do that in a good way. But then recognize, like, wow, when the Spirit's moving really powerfully, that it's not only just it feels good, but it's like some people don't experience that very often. And if that's their time to experience, like, wow, what was that? What that was something different today, and they get to experience the Holy Spirit in a different way. It's like, wow, we don't want to shortchange and miss those opportunities. So this isn't the first time we've talked about it, but I think we're trying to do it in a better way, understanding and walking in the tension. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I apologize to the the ministry teachers and leaders that are back there that had to wrangle the kids for longer. I told the guys earlier, I was worried I didn't have enough to say, and they told me I went a little bit over 50. I thought I had like a strong 17 minutes, and I was obviously off.
He's just got Dodgers on the mind with the 17 thing. After Ohtani hit those three home runs. Okay,
that didn't even come to mind, but
me either,
sure, okay, maybe that's how it's supposed to be. But yeah, I normally there are times where I feel like, oh, this felt kind of long. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if because I had to speak it felt shorter, but there was an aspect of it to me that didn't feel like it was that long until mm-hmm. a couple of people highlighted to me. But then other people, everybody had a bunch of different feedback. Yeah. So
I think that's the thing we recognize too. The different people have different values. I was in the back with the kids, and so I was coming out to check, like, okay, how many more, like, trying to get a feel, like, how many more songs is it? And each time I came out, I could tell, like, oh, there's something, like, special happening with the second worship set. So I could tell just by walking up there and seeing how people were responding, I'm like, oh, the Spirit's moving deeper. But I didn't think it was going to go that long. So we're just like, oh, kids, one more, like, two more songs probably. Like, it just felt like, oh, yeah, they're still going to honor. And so that was the thing. It was like, just we could do better at communicating and just even being aware, like, oh, there's something happening today. If we're going to go a little longer. So just that valuing, like, that communication is a huge thing of respect and honor. And that just helps the people in the back be able to plan, like, okay, well, I'm going to put a video on then, or instead of just anticipating, oh, they're going to be done in a little bit, and the kids are just kind of getting a little wild.
Yeah, there's almost like a organic ministry time that happened for certain people, and I think just how they felt moved by the Lord and whatever, and so, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to miss those, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this series has been about walking in light and love, and I think that this has brought up opportunities for us as a staff to take the lead in that. So we're not just talking about it.
Yeah, we gotta be about it.
Right? So, you know, it's not just being preached on Sunday mornings in the sermon, but we're actually trying to live that out too. And so, you know, just wanted to share that just to show that, you know, we are not just, like I said, we're not just talking about it, but, you know, these are things that we are talking about, that we're actually trying to live out. We're trying to walk through some of the tensions, trying to walk this out in a healthy way, and recognizing, you know, the the Lord is taking our relationships to a new level. And it's not just, okay, I'm going to hold back my feelings for somebody else, but it's how can we share these things in a healthy way? How can we walk closer together and we're honoring everybody? So
I did laugh a little bit out loud when Pastor Barry checked in on me before I was speaking like a couple weeks just to make sure. And I was reading the passage and then I got to that verse where it said, talk to, don't like do it in action. And I was just like, of course, but like, that fits. Okay. I do have a confession I have to make. I have said on the podcast.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to bring this up.
I do. Cause I'm going to be about it. I have said that emotionally healthy spirituality, one of my biggest takeaways was they talk about being at the end of yourself. That is not in the book. Those verbatim words. They talk about a similar concept because we just went over it in our small group about journeying through the wall. And so the wall is similar in which it disrupts your pattern. And so it causes you to go beyond or do things different or have to address certain things. And so it's a similar concept. It's not the same. I think the concept of being at the end of yourself is in desiring God, or there's a separate reading that it's in. So I must have mixed it up, or I don't know, but I have to come clean that I've been promoting emotionally healthy spirituality with that. And that's not in there verbatim, but there's a different concept that's very similar.
Similar concept, just not similar wording.
Yes. Yeah. Because I read it and then I was like, oh shoot, last podcast I mentioned that again too. And that's not what it is.
Spirit's convicting you saying, yeah, hey.
Yeah.
Is that what you thought he was going to talk about?
He told me that earlier. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I told Kyle, like, I actually have to admit something.
It's funny because like early on, I'm like, oh, I was like, how can I ask him about that to try to like prompt? And I'm like, I don't know where to bring that in. So
I'm just going to just say it because my dad would be like, hey, that wasn't in there. You better tell them that. can't be a false teacher or saying stuff on there that you don't know.
He's walking in the light.
Yeah, right. Trying to.
All right. Well, Brett, do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners?
Well, one, I thank you to just our church as a whole that, you know, people have asked me, like, how was your response, like, when you go to speak? And for the most part, I can answer before I even speak that people are going to be very encouraging and gracious in just how they receive it. To the point where if I did have an anxiety attack, if I did have a hard time, not that people would lie to me, but there would still be this like sense of like, we see you, mm-hmm. we understand. And I think that in itself reveals the character and heart of our church. And so I'm thankful for that. And then I think moving forward in the series, in some of my research, I think there is going to be a little bit of a shift in the ways that John addresses certain things. And so I'm interested to see with the next speakers and the next topics and walking in light and love, like what that looks like. Because even though a lot of it has been focused on love, and it seems like, it almost seems like there's more of like, this is what you're not supposed to do in these first chapters. I'll be interested to see where God leads the speakers in the next couple of chapters, but I think this has been a good series. I think it's been surprising in the ways that it's kind of taken form, but I think it's been really good and glad that our church can walk through this together.
Yeah, I was just going to read it on my phone, but I'm looking forward to Perfect Love Casts Out Fear. That's one of my favorite verses. I know it's coming up. So I know that section gets quoted a lot and it gets talked about. That one even, I think we talked about that in the spring when we did the Awe of God.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I like that.
Who's scheduled for that one?
But it got me a different perspective or a more full perspective. But I think that's always been a comforting passage for me, like dealing with fear and trying, like, how do I overcome fear? So I know there's those nuggets that are coming, and I'm curious to see how people will, how the speaker will be like framing it too.
Are you assigned for that one, Kyle?
Nope.
Is it on multi-gen, David?
Our series is very different from multi-gen. We're not. I do try to tie in the sermon series if I can, but yeah.
But I think it, because I think that section does talk a little bit more about the power of love and like what love can do when God's love is unleashed. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's the part I usually think about when I think of First John.
Well, I'm not scheduled for that. That's why I'm asking. So yeah. I'm off the books. I'll be praying for whoever the speaker is.
Well, talking about looking ahead, this coming Sunday, we have Walter Chu.
Yes,
guest
we do.
Speaker.
Yes,
so,
we do.
Really looking forward to hearing from Walter. And he always has some amazing stories. So yeah, just looking forward to hearing some of those too.
Shout out to Walter's kids. They were at our retreat for one session, first time I met them. And I was like, man, these guys are grown little men. They're young, but the way that they handled themselves, I was very impressed at just the respect that they had, the engagement they had. They were just so, I don't know, I was just very impressed by them. So I was bummed that they weren't in the rest of our sessions, but it was really cool to have them. I mean, they went down the aisle and introduced themselves and shook every person's hand and like engaged with the other high schoolers. And I think one of them's not even in middle school yet. And I was just like, wow, that's like really cool to see. So shout out to Walter and his family.
Slight tease. There might be some different elements that he brings to his time during the service too. So we'll see where it goes. Nothing official that I heard, but there's some options on the table. So it'll be good. A little different flavor.
Nice.
Got all these twists and turns recently, so looking forward to seeing what the Lord has in store for us this Sunday. Well, thanks again, Brett, for coming on and making time for us, and we're looking forward to having you back hopefully sometime soon.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Oh yeah, we will.
Yeah,
one way or another, Brett.
Yeah, somehow.
One way or another, you're gonna strap you down.
I'll just have to call in or something. Okay, we could do one of those too.
We could do one of those. We could try that sometime.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening. We're all excited for all the things that the Lord has in store. We got a lot of stuff coming up with holidays.
Oh shoot, the holidays
on the
are
way.
Coming up.
It's gonna be sooner than you know
it.
Oh
man.
And guess what? We've almost been in our facility for a full year.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
So, I mean, it's been a great year so far, and we're looking forward to all that the Lord has in store. Mm. But until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.